good morning, everybody. Hope you guys had a lovely week. And I know that a few folks around here are still in a little bit of a battle with the sniffles and the sneezes and the coughs and all that. And may you win that battle. Get rid of that. Now. Because now it's starting to affect me. Now I'm in that battle. I mean, I was in the battle to begin with, but now it got personal. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I've been thinking about a few things. I wanted to read over in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to start around 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It's just a few verses there, what, six verses? Pretty harsh stuff, right? Sayers, you know, the folks that say, Lord, Lord. Hearers, those that heard my word. And doers. Seems as though he's talking to the sayers and the hearers. He's pleased for the doers. Now, what are you? You a sayer? You a hearer? You a doer? I've seen a lot of sayers and hearers. Just saying. Being a doer, now that's where the rubber meets the road. Really, when it comes down to it, that is what matters, right? The danger in saying Jesus Christ is Lord and not doing it, he ain't got your back. There's a deception in the hearing of it, right? It just came to my mind. It's over in James. I think it's chapter 2. Yeah, I'm going to start reading at 19. James chapter 2, 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, just because you're hearing the word and you're agreeing with it, and you're like, oh yeah, praise God, happy, happy, If you ain't doing it, you ain't doing it. Well, that's what it comes down to. Oh, was it 119? I apologize. It was James 119. I've been corrected. Let's pretend for a minute that I was a CEO of a company. All right, stationed right out of here, out of Cottageville, South Carolina. Small company, but we're looking to grow. All right. And I've secured some contracts over in Europe. I'm going to set up a manufacturing facility over there. And I've decided to leave y'all in charge while I'm gone. Okay? And I've told you what it is I want you to do while I'm gone. You know, I want you to make sure everything's running the way that it is. Right? You will have contact with me, although I'm going to be pretty busy. I'm going to be over the sea. So I fly on over to Europe. I bring the family with me, you know, and I start making contacts, setting up the shop over there, the warehouse and all that. And I'm sending letters back to y'all. Hey, yeah, we've made this change over here. I need you guys to do this on that end. Right? Oh, yeah, now this has occurred. You know, great news. This has happened. Wanted to keep you guys aware of that. You know, time passes, maybe 6 months, 8 months, whatever, however long it would take me to set up this deal in Europe, right? And I come back, and I walk in, go to the parking lot, and I see all the grasses overgrown. There's vines and bushes and prickers creeping into the parking lot. I'm like, what the heck's going on here? Wow. So I go into the receptionist, you know, office there at the building, and the girl's got her feet up on the desk. She's kicked back, watching soap operas, doing her nails or something. I hear somebody upstairs running, saying, oh, I think he might be here. Hey, you know, what's going on? You know, to the receptionist. Oh, this is just how it's been since you've been gone. Really? All right. Well, let me talk with the sales manager. You know where he is? No, but he might be back that way somewhere. Oh. All right, so I'm walking through my building. I got my employees running muck everywhere. Finally get into a back room where my sales manager, one of y'all, sitting there playing ping pong or foosball or something with the operations director. What is going on? Didn't you get my letters? Wasn't I clear on what I told you to do? Oh yeah, we got your letters. Oh, they were great, man. I really enjoyed them, you know. So you guys read the letters? Oh, yeah, we read them. Yeah. Every Friday, we have Letter Reading Friday. We all get together as a company, right? We pull out your letters. We read them, you know. They're pretty cool letters, really. I enjoy them. Everybody likes them. Even after we read some of the letters, we break down into small groups. And we go over the letters line by line. Some of us have actually memorized portions of your letters, man. The letters are awesome. Really enjoy those letters. I'll tell you what, me as a CEO of a company is trying to expand. Coming back to that nonsense? Ho, ho, ho. I would not be pleased. Now, do you think that the Lord coming back to that nonsense is going to be pleased? No, he ain't going to be pleased. He told us right here he will not be pleased. Not at all. Does it matter what you say? Does it matter what you hear? No, it matters what you do. Mostly. You know, just being in this room today, you've done something dangerous, right? It's dangerous. By showing up, I'll argue that you said that Jesus Christ is Lord. You've made a selection. So now you're here. Now you've heard the word. Now you're a sayer and a hearer. You know, in a lot of countries around the world today, if you are a sayer of Jesus Christ and a hearer of His word, they will take you out and kill you. They will kill you. And if you're not a doer, when you die, Jesus is going to say that He doesn't even know you. How's that feel? It's not a comfortable place. But there's hope. There's hope in the doing. Right? If we are going to say Jesus Christ is Lord, if we are going to hear His word, if we take it into our hearts, if we allow that word to change even our hearts, that we may show the love of God to others, that when people come against us, if we are doers of the word, if we are believers of His word, His power can move through us. It'll protect us. It'll be that shield round about us. That's where I want to be. Is that where you're going to be? Well, when we take His word into our hearts, that's that foundation that we were talking about over there in Matthew, right? It's a deep foundation. We build that house upon that rock. That house might look exactly like the other house that's built on the sand. Same blue shutters, same red door, two-story. Might look exactly the same. That house that's on the sand is a sayer and a hearer. That house with the foundation on the rock, that's the doer. That's the house you want.
Well, praise the Lord. Good word. We need it. We need to hear it. We need to do it. That's the big thing. You know, I was looking. Oh man, there's all kinds of scriptures I was looking at this morning. And I don't know exactly where I'm going to start. But in the sense of what Scott's talking about, doing the word, building your house upon that rock, we don't go and build that house upon that rock in our own strength, in our own might, with our flesh. We don't do it that way. No, we do it with the confidence in Jesus Christ and what He has done and what He's able to do. Imagine this. We go back to the children, and I kind of, you know, refer back to the Old Testament a little bit here. Back to the children of Israel, and this is when Joshua was around, and when Joshua, yeah, I just might turn there. Well, I'm going to talk about Joshua, and they were going to go across the River Jordan. And I'm in Joshua 3, I'm probably not even going to read on, so you guys don't have to turn to it. That might be ended up being pretty long. But when Joshua said to the children of Israel, actually I am going to go to it. And 3 verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now I tell you what, I want the Lord to do wonders among me, among us. Amen. And what was written there was the commandment that he gave them. And that was to take one man out of every tribe. Then you have the priests lined up and he gave them a set of commandments to go do. Now, for the children of Israel to go forward and take the land of Jericho, do you think them just hearing Joshua saying it and just saying that they're going to do it, that thing would have been accomplished where they went and took the land of Jericho across the River Jordan? No. If they just sat right on their butts and said, oh, we hear you, Joshua. We're going to do what you said, Joshua. And then go turn around back in your tent and don't do anything at all. Nothing was going to happen. Nothing. But it was that they believed God and they became obedient unto the Lord. And who was sending the message? Joshua. Joshua. I mean, that's just like Scotty being up here, or Paul being up here, or me being up here, or Steve being up here, or Davey being up here, giving you a word to go and do and perform. That's no different, is it? No different at all. But it's that when they actually stepped out and did what Joshua commanded, and when as soon as those priests that was bearing the ark of the Lord touched the brim of the water at the River Jordan, it heaped up on one side. It heaped up on one side. Now, did they do that by their own strength? Did they sit there in the water and say, we're going to hold the water back? And let me tell you, this time was when the Jordan was overflowing. I mean, it's like being in Alaska, you know, it's cold around that cold time, the rivers are frozen, it's just maybe just a little leak coming across, and then all of a sudden it comes summertime and the ice caps melt and it's just roaring down. It was at the biggest place. They were overflowing. And the Lord showed up mightily. That didn't stop them. That didn't stop them. They didn't see the river. What we do a lot of times, we see that river and say, oh, we can't do that. We can't cross. You know, I know the Lord was going to give us Jericho and all, but that's a big river. Let's camp out on this side. No, they went and did as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord showed up mightily. The Lord showed up mightily. So I wanted to turn to Timothy real quick, and I'll probably go to Peter real quick. In Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's what it means to be strong. That's an example of being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I know earlier this week, I was talking with Steve and we hit some points this week. And he gave me something that was an awesome thing. It was an awesome message. But at that point, I had to make a choice. I said, man, praise God. And I tell you, what he told me actually let the chains off my natural man. The thing that was holding me back from going forward in the Lord. But I had a choice to go walk in that or to go, man, that's too big for me to do. I can't do that. That's against my nature. I've done it way too often. And then a mess arises. And then I'm going, Man, I'm in this mess. You know, how did I get there? And the Lord's going, because you didn't use the thing which I gave you. You know what, Lord? I'm sorry. You're right. Ain't nobody's fault that I'm in this mess except myself. But thank you for the way out. Now I hear you. And I went to go doing that which Steve had told me to do and gave me that perspective that he gave me. Actually, he didn't actually go say A, B, and C. He just gave me a word that lit up a more knowledgeable way, a more way to operate in him. Just a perspective. And I took that perspective and I went forward and the Lord showed up mightily. Mightily. In the workplace. Gave him a call Saturday night. He gave me more perspective. But things got straightened out. Things started clearing up and home and work and all these things. Because I said, I want to do what the Lord would have me do. And I made the choice. You can make that choice. What Scott's presenting you today is a choice to make. And I had to become fierce against the enemy, against the lies of the flesh. Against the things that were coming against him and his way. See, we all like to be the Lamb of God. We like to play that part. And we look at that as grace. But also Jesus is what? The Lion of Judah as well. And if you're not willing to step out in that line of Judah, just in your own heart, just in those unbelieving flesh that tries to come and overrule you and overtake you, then we're not taking that which the Lord has given us and doing it. It was an interesting thing. I know I've gotten a lot of good advice from Scott. And so much of it that I want to get it done. I don't find enough time to get it done. I get overwhelmed. But praise be to God. He's bigger than that. I'm looking at the situation. I'm sitting there struggling Saturday morning. And I'm going, man, I want to get this done. And, oh, man, just overwhelmed all this things, man. And I had to fight because all that was unbelief. I mean, the Lord has been good to me. Brought Scott down to give me some advice to get some things straight here in the field and know how to operate in a farm. It's been a praise the Lord. Thank you, Scott, by the way. Been a praise the Lord. But see, look, I had to sit there and battle my own unbelief. I had to get fierce with it. I was rebuking Satan in the face in the car, screaming against it. Because it wanted to overtake me, swallow me up. Drag me down. And I could have sat there and let it, and it destroyed my whole day. It's just like the Lord. What did He do? He gave us His power. He gives us gifts. What do? We take it and we set it up under and put it up underneath the bed and say, I'll use that later. And then we go about our own way, doing our own thing, and then what ends up happening is we get overtaken, then we get mad, and then who do we blame? Other people or God. Essentially, other people is just what you can see at, but the source of it, you're blaming God. And it ain't His fault. It's your own dang fault for not using it. And we need to get that straight. Scotty was reading in James about not deceiving your own self. See, when we go and buy into that lie of the enemy and that buy those things that the flesh is feeding us, we're deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. Don't let that be the case. You're not called to be under bondage, but freedom. So take that which He has given you and be free. And be that doer that He's called you to be. then you'll find great joy. And see, the beautiful thing was, and this, see, the enemy always overplays his hand. Because what happened that day? What happened that day? Saturday I had that battle. Enemy was coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Or my, I could blame it on Satan, my own flesh, me. Let it get the best of me. But me fighting against that was a battle I engaged. And once I get to work, and I tell you, I didn't feel any different. Oh, I didn't feel almighty and powerful and wonderful. No. No, not one bit. I felt the same. I'm sitting there wondering if that did any good. But as soon as I was walking to the time clock at work, click, issue happens. Boom, I was right there, Johnny on the spot to deal with it. And all that struggle, all that thing that I had come before me, before in that car, was gone. And my operation was there and now and ready to be what the Lord would have me do. So the enemy overplayed his hand. He wanted me to take me down, get overwhelmed, get to where I couldn't operate, freeze up. But instead I fought against, which actually gave me the thing. But you see, if I wasn't having that struggle, I wouldn't have been doing, I wouldn't have been battling. See, if I didn't have that struggle, it wouldn't have brought me to my knees before the Lord. And that was absolutely necessary for what I had to engage in that day. You see how that worked? It's an amazing thing. See, because if everyone woke up with, oh man, everything's rosy and good and all this is great, I feel wonderful, I feel great, I feel good. If I would have woke up, went about my day, all this stuff would have hit me, then all of a sudden I would have been like, oh man, this is so overwhelming, man, I should have been, Wah. But since I was already engaged, it gave me that to carry forth that day. And the Lord showed up, and He showed up mightily. And things are getting... There's a ton of work to do. I know there is. But I know with Him, all things are possible. I know in Him that He's bigger than any situation that comes my way. We're talking about God who spoke this world and us into existence. An awesome God He is. We need to be reminded of that. We need to remind ourselves that. We need to be about His business every day. Because I don't want to go about doing my own thing and my own business and be caught off where the Lord doesn't have my back, as Scott was saying. I don't want that to be the case for me. But if you look at the children of Israel and what they were listening, they were hearing Joshua's word. They were saying they were going to do what Joshua told them to do. And they did what Joshua told them to do. And the Lord showed up. And that was all about who? Jesus. That was about doing whose thing? Jesus' thing. That was about who getting the glory? Jesus getting the glory. Jesus getting the glory. Now I want to go to Peter real quick. And in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to go to 6, start at 6, and carry on. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. And see, that humbleness comes from of a place of knowing your depravity, knowing where you come from. I know I'm not able, and I cannot do this. I recognize that I'm a sinner and in need of grace and mercy. But what I look to is not my depravity, is not what I'm able to do, but what He is able to do and about His thing, not my own. And so I take all those fears, those worries, those cares, whatever they are, and I give them to Him. Because I can't bear that. He already bore it. I don't even know if that's a word. But I hope you get what I'm saying. And that He has given unto us to walk in. I'm going to continue on. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. Look, whom resist, who do they go, he goes to seek to devour? Those that resist steadfast in the faith. That tells me I need to be steadfast in the faith. I need to be constantly looking at Jesus and what He would have me do and what He is capable of doing and what He has done for me. Constantly. Because when I stop looking at that and I step out and I just start looking at me, or I just start separating myself from fellowship and I start looking at, listening to that carnal mind, I'm not being steadfast in the faith. I'm just deceiving myself. I'm listening to the lies of the enemy. And he's going to see that and say, he's outside the body. I'm going to go get him. But we need to have that willingness to actually step out and do that which the Lord has given us to do. Because when the enemy sees me, I want him to see Jesus. Because when the enemy sees me, hey, no problem. But when he sees Jesus, he flees. He flees. Just like the light hitting the darkness, it flees. It cannot stay. Have the sun come up. You see any darkness out there? No. And see, this all comes down to a choice, guys. A choice. Not my will be done, but yours, Lord. Lord, I'm not looking at myself, what I can do. Lord, I'm looking at what you have done and what you can do. And whatever it is you tell me to do, I'm going to step out and do it. What happened when David stepped up to Goliath? It was a laughter at first, right? But when David stepped in the power of God and that stone dimpled in through his forehead, dropped like a rock, and all the Philistines ran. So let's grab that which the Lord has given us, not put them up underneath our bed, but use it rather. But use it rather.
Y'all left me hanging out here with way too many scripture references. So I might address them all and I might not, I hope. I address everything the Lord wants me to address. Firstly, the we are by nature. You're going to love this. Like automatic transmissions, we'd be really feeling good about ourselves and doing what we think is the Lord's work, doing the Lord's word, and a little bit of doubt comes our way as we shift. We don't stop doing the work. The reason we're doing the work changes. Suddenly we're doing it to justify ourselves and to be seen doing it. Being doers of the word is important. It's an important message. But, and I don't seek to diminish it here, but in Matthew 7:22, these people were doers. They just weren't doing it for the Lord. They weren't doing it for the people they were ministering to. They were doing it to justify themselves. And his word to them was, depart from me, I never knew you. When you're doing these things as unto the Lord and not to justify yourself, that's when you've built the house on a foundation that's a rock. You haven't just taken a new set of window dressings and put it around the one that's sitting on the sand. One of the other things the Lord kind of gave me was, what do you suppose? You ever ask yourself a question, why did he tell Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Well, because he's a sinner. And he needs that grace to cover his sin. He's also a minister of grace. That's extended grace and mercy to those who would receive the word of the Lord. I sit there and I'm thinking to myself, that's got to be a strange question. Why does he need to be strong in the grace? Because that's what he does. You know, it's like, started telling Steve or Scott here a little while back to be strong in the law. Why do you have to be strong in the law? Because it's what you do. It's what feeds little urchins. This whole idea of doing whatsoever, so in Colossians, I'm in there and I'm looking at it and I'm going to find it in a minute. Yeah, it's a blur. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. You know, back up in 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. This is such a good chapter. It's hard to pick a couple of verses out of there, out of the context of it. But this is about choosing where your attitude's going to be. The quickest way to set up on that sand is to be doing what you're doing for the wrong reason. If it's not as unto the Lord, foundation not going to stand. It doesn't matter how good looking you are with that work to all the other people that are watching. Doesn't matter. That's not going to give you it's not going to get you the inheritance. It's not going to give you it's not going to give you heaven. It's not going to give you. Enter in, my good and faithful servant. It's going to get apart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. If you don't get a grasp on anything today, get a grasp on that. It doesn't matter near as much how much you're doing as it does why you're doing it. And you can dress it up. You can dress up any way you want to. But self-justification is feeding unbelief and doubt. Self-justification is what your flesh lusts to do. And it's pleased to justify itself. It's pleased when somebody tells it how good they are. Man, you're just doing all this good work. I don't want to be pleased when somebody tells me that. I want to be pleased that I have an opportunity to do it for the Lord. I'm done.